The following views presented in this half hour do not reflect the views of KDVS, KDVS sponsors, or the University of California.
I'm Katie Morgan.
And I'm Cameron Lalana.
And you're listening to Conspiracy Comrades
on 90.3 KDVS.
Do you care about the environment? Are you interested in getting involved? Well, then check out the Campus Center for the Environment website, cce.ucdavis.edu.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. Brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
There will be a climate strike in Davis, Friday, September 20th, 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Those interested should meet at Mary L. Stevens Library, 314 East 14th Street at 11:30 a.m. Then people will march to City Hall and Central Park at 12 p.m. If you want to get involved, you can email climatestrikedavis@gmail.com.
Here is a bulletin from CBS News. In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting. From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, some 38 minutes ago. Vice President Lyndon Johnson has left the hospital in Dallas, but we do not know to where he has proceeded. Presumably, he will be taking the oath of office shortly and become the 36th President of the United States.
Three shots rang out over Dealey Plaza in November of 1963. What comes next is forever imprinted in the minds of Americans. Jackie Kennedy bent over the back of the presidential convertible, picking up remnants of her husband's skull. The grainy footage of the Zapruder film, documenting those last fateful moments of excitement before the shooting. And that iconic photo of suspect Lee Harvey Oswald being shot the next day in broad daylight by club owner Jack Ruby. The untimely death of John F. Kennedy brought the idealistic era of Camelot to a jarring conclusion, shattering the romantic portrait of the Kennedys and their picturesque family with an assassination that shook the national consciousness. JFK's untimely death still today mars the American memory, but has the Warren Commission's conclusion really stood up to the test of time? This is it, everybody, our sweeping grand finale, the JFK assassination.
Welcome to the grand finale.
Welcome to Conspiracy Comrades, everyone.
Finally, we're having another live episode.
We are. It's been a while.
I'm reining in all my worst humor that normally gets cut out of the episode.
Yes, that and me cursing.
Yes, exactly. You don't curse very often in shows.
I guess not.
Yeah. We're very family friendly, very fun, very safe.
Right, all those things.
Yeah. It's not like we made a pact not to make any really untoward jokes about the Kennedy assassination beforehand.
I mean, I think the Kennedy assassination is something that we probably shouldn't joke too much about. Probably.
I heard should, but I'm going to assume you said shouldn't and I misheard you.
I said should not.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes things end up the way they are. Anyway, before we continue in that direction, Katie, let's talk about conspiracies as
yes,
we have been for many
as
weeks.
As we always do. Yes.
As we always do. Uh-huh. But a very specific sort of conspiracy, the Kennedy conspiracies.
There are so many of the Kennedy conspiracies. There are so many. So as I am often want to do, I'll give us some history.
Yes, exactly.
I'm sorry, y'all. I'm a history major.
Hey, share it.
Yeah. It's
if there's a song in your heart,
you gotta sing it.
And the song of your heart is Kennedy's death. Sing it.
Oh, no.
That's the advice
when you put it like that, it's terrible.
And that's the advice that someone presumably gave Oswald.
Oh. Cameron.
I broke the pact. Sorry.
Oh, God. Okay. So, anyway, coming off of that, so...
Would you like to start with a general overview of the assassinations, or do you want to start with, the conspiracies, or do you want to start with the assassination itself?
Let's start with the assassination itself.
Okay.
We'll give the concrete hard facts, and then we'll kind of dive into our, you know, normal deep end.
Definitely.
That's how we like to have fun here.
Exactly.
Just diving in.
Right into the deep end.
Right into the deep end, yes. So, the JFK assassination took place November 22nd, 1963, in Dallas, Texas. At this point, JFK had announced his reelection campaign. Obviously, he was elected in 1960, was planning on running again as the Democratic nominee in 1964. So at this point, you know, it's almost the period of time that we're in right now with the 2020 election, where everyone's kind of going around campaigning, just kind of saying like, hey, you know, vote for me, maybe. So he's in Texas, which at this point is deep red. A lot of people actually warn him to not go to Dallas especially, but just Texas in general. A lot of his advisors were like, hey, you know, this might not be the best place for you to go. It could be dangerous. And he was like, no, it's fine.
I believe
it's all good. I'm a man of the people.
Yeah.
You know, I really I want to see everybody.
I believe Governor Connally at that time of Texas was deeply worried that Kennedy would suffer some sort of embarrassment in one of these cities, especially Dallas, which was known for its opposition to Kennedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So he... the day before, on the 21st of November, he'd actually given speeches in San Antonio, Austin, and Fort Worth. So the 22nd, he's heading out to Love Field in Dallas. He is supposed to get this speech. You know, they have a motorcade through the Dallas Trade Mart. So at this point, they're going down. It's hard to explain. I've actually been there, which is super cool. But
when exactly were you there? Can you account for your whereabouts?
Cameron, I wasn't born in 1963. I wasn't alive.
Okay, fair enough.
I wouldn't be alive for 26 more years.
That's a good alibi.
25 more years.
25 more years.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't count. Anyway, so they're going in this huge motorcade down these couple of main streets in Dallas. Basically, JFK requests that the bubble top on his convertible is taken off, and he requests less Secret Service because he wants to, again, seem like a man of the people. So more people can see him that way. You know, it's kind of easier for people to make out, oh, that's the president, you know, because he doesn't have the top on his convertible. There are fewer people blocking other people's view. So he's like, yeah, I'm a man of the people. I'm going to show, you know, Dallas that I want them to see me. I'm a man that likes to, you know, see his constituents.
Right.
Which a lot of people actually think that that was a pretty big reason why he was shot in the first place.
Exactly. Because normally there is the bubble top, as you mentioned. There would be officers or Secret Service agents riding alongside the car and motorcycles, and at least one Secret Service agent in the car itself.
Right.
All of which were security measures, which Kennedy forewent for this trip.
Right. Yes. The only people in that particular convertible were JFK and then Jackie, his wife, and then Governor Connally and his wife, Nellie. So it's just the four of them and the driver, obviously. But there's a very... the Secret Service presence is much lower than it normally would be for this kind of motorcade. So basically, I will give you the Warren Commission conclusion on this story. So Lee Harvey Oswald, who is a 24-year-old, a lot of places say that he's a communist sympathizer, which I think is really an understatement considering that he defected to the Soviet Union, defected back, and then tried to defect to Cuba.
Yeah, which is pretty strong indication of his views.
Right.
He was a strong reader of the laborer and the worker and the militant, which were both socialist publications when he was in the U.S. He purported to be a member and spokesperson for an organization called Fair Play for Cuba, which was a pro-Castro organization within the U.S.
Right.
So you could say he had certain sympathies.
Yes, that is. Yes.
Yes.
So shortly after 12:30 in the afternoon, Kennedy is shot. Sorry, that was very blunt. That was just like, here it is.
That's assassination. Pretty blunt.
Fair enough. So his motorcade is struck. Kennedy is shot three times, according to the Warren Commission. He basically gets rushed to this hospital just down the highway from where he shot. And basically he's already dead by the time he gets there. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of us are pretty familiar with that. It's stuff that we see from the Zapruder film too, but like mm-hmm. that pretty iconic like image of Jackie like going over the end of the edge of the convertible mm-hmm. to like scrape up JFK's skull or like right. what's left of it.
Yeah.
It's not a good picture.
It's not very
but
good.
It's definitely striking, mm-hmm. I'll say. So yeah, he's shot. One of the bullets actually goes through him and goes through Governor Connolly, who is fine. He suffers some injuries, but he survives. He's okay. He recovers. So that's the very basic overview mm-hmm. of the assassination. So sorry, I guess I missed a part. So Lee Harvey Oswald goes up. He's in the sixth floor of at that point, what's a book depository for Texas public schools. It's now a museum. It's very cool.
I've seen the pictures. It looks very cool.
It is so cool. I got to go there three years ago now. It was so cool.
You look like you're having a lot of fun in the photos.
Oh, I was having so much fun.
A great time.
Oh my God. That was, oh, it was such a cool museum. I would happily go back there if I could. But yeah, it's very interesting. Mm. It just, you know, when you're there, it's like just a courtyard and mm-hmm. you know a big tall building that used to be a book depository, and then you're like, no, someone was killed here.
Yeah,
it just it's very eerie for some reason. And then you know, you see, I got to see the grassy knoll, which is also very iconic for
where the killing blow was shot from.
I was gonna say maybe harboring a second shooter, depending on who you ask. But yeah, so if anyone's ever in Dallas and wants to go see something, go to the Sixth Floor Museum in Dealey Plaza. It's really cool. But so that's the basic overview of JFK's assassination.
Right.
Just from, you know, it's actually, I mean, it's relatively straightforward. Afterwards, like Lee Harvey Oswald, he runs off. The police are looking for him. He shoots another police officer while he's escaping. They actually corner him in a movie theater and they, you know, arrest him, take him in. And then the next day he's shot dead by a strip club owner named Jack Ruby, who had really strong, like, he had a really strong affinity for the president.
Mm-hmm.
So he was so angry that he shot perhaps one of the only people who could have told us what really happened.
Yeah.
So.
Right, which is where the groundwork for many a conspiracy has been laid.
Yes, that is absolutely true.
And I just want to add in here that most of the facts that we know as the basic story today were established by, as Katie mentioned earlier, the Warren Commission,
mm-hmm.
which was the commission put together by LBJ in order to investigate the Kennedy assassination.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Warren Commission is not the last government investigation into the Kennedy assassination. That's something we'll get into later, because there are later reports which actually even investigate the conclusions of the Warren Commission and occasionally dispute them.
Yes. So at that point, when the Warren Commission came out in the 60s, they concluded that Oswald acted by himself. They said it is what it looks like. You know, there was mm-hmm. one shooter. He fired off three shots. JFK died. That's that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously that's the thing that arguably makes the most sense. You know,
mm-hmm.
what we saw is what we saw. But obviously there are plenty of people that have quite a few other opinions.
They have questions about it, because one of the things about the Warren Commission, which is brought up by many people who are critical of it, is that they didn't actually release the evidence that they were looking into. Everything, all their conclusions are stowed away somewhere. The evidence that led them to those conclusions were not viewable by the public. In fact, a later House investigation found that a lot of their evidence they couldn't even locate when they were trying to double check these things, because they wanted to see, hey, was this actually, for example, an X-ray of Kennedy? Can we establish that was actually the truth when we're to see this gunshot to the head? And they had to do a great deal of work even just to find that evidence, because it had been misfiled or something like that.
Right. And that's kind of the cool thing about the information that we have now, which, I mean, obviously we've made it pretty clear before, we are big believers in, you know, digging through FBI files mm-hmm. and reading huge chunks of the Warren Commission. It is thick. If any of you ever want to read it, it's very interesting, but also it is one of the thickest stacks of government paper I've ever seen, which is impressive considering how bureaucracy
right.
is.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very
yeah.
Oh God, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
We've been going through FBI files and stuff like that, and it's interesting now seeing, you know, the information and the evidence that has finally actually gotten released. It's, you know, it's quite cool. I mean,
right.
I showed Cameron yesterday. There's actually some pictures that we're going to put in the show notes. And it's just some pictures of, you know, what happened that day. There's a diagram of like from JFK's autopsy of his head, how like the bullet would have hit his head and how like the, you know, exit wound was, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I'd actually never seen a lot of it. And I would consider myself somewhat of a weird person regarding JFK's assassination.
Judging by the number of books in your room on it.
Yeah. Well, also, I mean, you all heard me talking about the museum a couple of minutes ago. I have no shame about that. It's okay. But they were pictures that I had never seen before. And I've done some deep dives on this before. So it's really interesting. I mean, there is a picture of the shirt that JFK was wearing. It's very...
bloody?
Well, sure. Yeah. It's that's it. No, it's just, it's very like macabre. It's just like a normal looking shirt. And then there's just blood like all over it.
Right.
There's a picture of the limousine seat where JFK and Jackie were sitting. Just like I said, extra diagrams, you know, it's just, it's very cool. So now we actually kind of get to benefit from the information that's slowly been released over the years.
Definitely.
Because it's not as, you know, pressing of a national issue.
Right. And I think maybe we should dive into some of the particulars that people start to dispute. And I kind of want to start with the Zapruder film, which is the, as far as I'm aware, the only actual recording of Kennedy's death.
Yes, I believe
death.
That's true.
Yes. So
well, because obviously video cameras weren't quite as big of a thing.
Definitely. Weren't very common.
Weren't very common.
Not like today.
Not like today. Yeah,
so,
everyone has a video camera now.
Yeah.
Just super, like a...
Yeah. Can you imagine how many videos there would be of the Kennedy assassination today?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
A lot.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
So the Zapruder film is probably one of the most viewed pieces of video footage in all of human history, making the Kennedy assassination also the most viewed murder in all of history.
Yeah, it's kind of weird when you think about it like that, huh?
Right?
Yeah.
So there are, you may have heard the phrase frame 313, which was made famous by the fact that that is the frame where Kennedy's head disappears.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Right.
There's kind of a weird little like gap between, I mean, obviously it's old film, so between the two frames, but it's very odd because it's not even like a slow progression. It's like the frame before his head's there, the frame after it's not.
Frame 2312, his head's there. Frame 313, it is no longer.
Yeah.
So one of the most disputed parts is Kennedy, the initial bullet went in through his back and came out through his neck. The second bullet went through the back of his, I think it was the right side of the back of his head and came out his right temple.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the video footage, the initial reaction Kennedy has is to jerk backwards, actually. He kind of freezes up, his head gets thrown backwards. And this is something that gets brought up quite often, the question being, if he was shot in the back both times, why would he have thrown his head back? Would this not indicate that he was shot in the front of the head, actually, indicating a shooter from a different position?
Right.
So that is where some of the basis for the claims of a second shooter come from, especially the one being in the grassy knoll, as you mentioned earlier. So you can take that in a lot of different ways. A later commission, the Warren Commission doesn't actually address this, but the House Select Committee on Assassinations actually did later look into that claim. And they basically, they did not actually investigate the assassination. What they did do is investigate what the Warren Commission looked into and see if that evidence held up, which is a really interesting investigation. I'd highly recommend you read it yourself. They also have one on the Martin Luther King assassination. And of course, some of their claims in that report are later disputed by other reports, but that's how it goes. And they point out that, as pointed out by some physiologists, that it's entirely possible and does happen that even when people are shot in the back, his muscles could have tensed up and throwing his head backwards, even if he was not shot in the same direction, which apparently, as they noted in the report, they person who was testifying to that demonstrated by showing the videos of him shooting goats to show the same reaction.
Yeah, I don't. We kind of looked at that yesterday. We're like,
I mean, I guess that makes sense. If I saw a video of that happening, like the goat throwing its head back, I'd be like, that makes sense. But also,
you're just shooting goats, dude.
How many goats did you shoot? Seems like,
this is like the opposite of animal rights. Like, what what is this? I mean, I guess
goat
it's like...
goat assassination?
I guess it...
Like a little goat phoenix program?
I guess it's like the 60s, but still.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so.
Yikes.
Yeah.
But also, I just wanted to add on to that. Speaking of me, I'm going to talk about me going to Dallas, like...
Go for it.
...this whole time. But when I was there and I was actually like on the grassy knoll and I got like, they have an X like in the middle of the road, right? Where JFK, like where the fatal shot was fired. And I don't know how someone could have shot him from the grassy knoll and no one else would have seen it. It's not that far of a distance. People were like packed on the street trying to see him. Like, there's no way. I don't think personally that someone could have been over at the grassy knoll and not a single person would have seen them. Unless this is like an even bigger person conspiracy than we think.
Definitely.
Because it's...
Which some people would allege is the case.
Sure, exactly. Yeah. But I just think two shooters, I don't know. But the thing is like from the grassy knoll, I think it's, it's a terrible theory, I think.
You know. So if there was a second shooter, it was from a different location.
Yeah,
actually, interestingly, jumping on that idea, the House Select Committee on Assassination actually did come to the conclusion that there were two shooters in their report, which contradicted the Warren Commission. Of course, that conclusion was based on a audio analysis, which was later disputed and was claimed to be not reputable, not actually a recording of the situation. So read into that what you will. In their report, they came to the conclusion that there was a conspiracy to kill JFK. Now, of course, was that a conspiracy by a large organization or was that just a small group of people? That was a conclusion they didn't really know. They did not come to, although they did go through various actors that they believed it could have been, the Soviet Union, Cuba, anti-Castro Cuban refugees, the CIA, the FBI. And
I could talk about any of those theories for a while.
Do you want to go into one of them? Pick a favorite one. You don't have a whole lot of time.
Pick a favorite.
I want to talk about the Soviet Union a little bit later because...
It's like asking me to pick my favorite child. Just kidding. I have no children.
The favorite child is the CIA.
Sure. I mean, I can honestly do pretty quick ones of all of these.
Sure, go for
it. It's not bad. Okay, so the CIA. at this point, so it's Alan Dulles who's running the CIA at this point. He and Kennedy have a very... Actually, JFK and his brother Robert and the Dulles brothers just don't really get along at this point. They just are constantly at odds with each other, especially...
Cough, cough, babe, pigs.
I was going to say, just, you know, all the, you know, botched Cold War operations, like mostly the Bay of Pigs when we think about it.
And after following the Bay of Pigs, Kennedy completely gutted the CIA, turned over most of their powers to the Pentagon, which led to a pretty big issue between the two groups.
So that's, I mean, that's mostly that one. It's
the idea being that they removed the president who was deeply resented them, took away most of their power, and gambled on LBJ being more favorable to them.
Exactly.
Okay.
What other theories?
Let's see. Let's go with the Castro theory.
I mean, there's a pretty clear...
I mean, pretty clear line A to B.
Sure. I mean, well, the thing is, too, is, you know, this... what did we decide? There was, I want to say, like 26 attempts on Castro's life when JFK was president. He was only president for, you know...
3 years?
Like 3 years. Yeah. So that's a lot of assassination attempts for a couple of years.
And
but
as Richard Helms would point out on TV in the 1970s, and he was the head of Kennedy's assassination program at the time, if you're going to kill their leaders, why shouldn't they kill yours? Which is a cool thing to say, but I respect that, honestly. And I also should point out that part of that theory comes from the fact that Oswald was really big on trying to get to Cuba. There are documented cases of him getting in contact with Cuban security, although... Cuban security, people who are within that knew or were familiar with the situation said that they didn't really trust him because they thought he was kind of a nut. He did go to Mexico City and went to the Cuban embassy while he was there. There aren't a lot of clear records of what happened at that time. But of course, you know, he went to the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union tried to reject him until he like really forced their hand. So it would not have been the first time that a country who didn't want him there received him.
Yeah, kind of every place he went was like,
Yeah, that's the sad thing about him defecting to the Soviet Union is that they didn't want him. They tried to send him back.
Yeah, not really. Well, the thing is he was a United States Marine.
Yeah.
So they're kind of like, why do you want to live in the USSR? And he was like, I don't know. And they're like, okay, cool. He lived there for 2 years, married a Russian woman, had a child with her. Then they all moved back to the United States. And then not that long afterwards, he goes to Mexico City and he's like, hey, Cuba, do you want me? And Cuba's like, no, please.
Not really.
So he's a very, I'll say a troubled guy, you know?
And I think it was the Warren Commission, when they're investigating, they actually go to the Soviet Union and ask them for any documentation they have regarding Lee Harvey Oswald, which they do turn over. It's disputed whether or not they turned over everything. I would be surprised if they did turn over everything.
I mean, yeah.
But they did turn over roughly 140 pages of documents. And in that page, somewhere in it, the person who was watching him called him ideologically incoherent and mentally unsound. So they weren't huge on him. Actually, I do want to briefly touch on the Soviet Union. This is my area of specialty.
Yeah, this is Cameron's time
to
shine.
So there was, in the HS, in the House Committee's report, they begin with, did the Soviet Union kill Kennedy? And one of the main things they point out is that the Soviet Union actually had a really negative reaction because they, although they were not fans of Kennedy, they did not know anything about LBJ. And perhaps that's some of the strongest evidence that they were not involved. Actually, there's a memorandum from Edgar Hoover to a source in the Warren Commission in which the FBI basically details, oh, here are the here, based on our sources, here are the reaction of the Soviet leadership. And the Soviet leadership was like, oh God, who's going to come to power? And they all, the Soviet leadership actually believed that it was a right-wing conspiracy and initially believed that LBJ had actually been behind some sort of coup to take power.
Mm-hmm.
And in the days immediately following the Kennedy assassination, apparently the KGB turned the whole, like an entire department, just into a who is LBJ division, because they had so little idea because they, you know, were not familiar with it.
Fun.
Which is perhaps some good evidence that they were perhaps not that involved, and also considering that they were deeply afraid. And they actually, someone brought to them the idea that left-wing elements in the United States would have been behind the attack, which they dismissed as ridiculous because they said this is a kind of ridiculous thing that could lead to war, and no one on our side would do something so, you know, manic and crazy, which was supported by the then head of the Communist Party of the USA, who also believed that it was done by a right-wing coup, because he was like, obviously, we wouldn't try to cause war like this, which is, everyone thinks it's someone else.
I mean, yeah. Well, that's the thing, too, about the whole theory that LBJ did it. Just, sorry, another quick tangent on that, but just, he was originally a senator from Texas. And he had a lot of power when he was a senator. He really enjoyed a lot of popularity and people really liked him. And, you know, obviously, I think he was originally the junior senator and then he became like the more tenured senator.
Right.
And he sort of joined on to JFK's ticket thinking that it was going to give him more power.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got up to the vice presidency. And as I think, I feel like most of us know, the vice presidency is a relatively, you know, weak job.
Definitely.
As far as, for being the number two in, you know, the entire nation, it's a pretty weak job.
Pretty do-nothing job. It's so unimportant that the KGB, the United States' big security enemy at the time, had knew little to nothing about LBJ.
Right, exactly. So, you know, it could potentially make a lot of sense that LBJ, you know, felt kind of, you know, cut off from his old sense of power. And the Kennedy brothers, because Robert Kennedy was his Secretary of State, both didn't really go to him for any kind of information or anything. They didn't really like loop him in on anything. They clearly didn't like him very much. So there you go. Another fun
theory.
There
are many aggrieved people within the United States apparatus of power at the time who had been locked out by the Kennedy overhaul following, especially the Bay of Pigs, but more generally. Locked a lot of them out of power. You know, unfortunately, we are running out of time, and no, we didn't get to cover as much of this as we wanted to.
We talked ourselves out of time again.
Yeah, as it tends to happen.
As we usually do,
The downside of having a show that's only 30 minutes long.
Yep, that's on us.
So, for now, it's almost 5, so it's unfortunately time to bring this show to a close. For now, I'm Cameron LaLana.
I'm Katie Morgan, and you've been listening to The Conspiracy Comrades. Our outro music this week is Week by AJR. You'll hear us again, well, maybe sometime. This is our last show of the summer. Thank you so much for tuning in to Conspiracy Comrades. We really hope that you had as much fun listening to us as we did making content for you guys. We had a ton of fun.
Yeah.
We've just been messing around all summer.
This has been a great time.
It's been really fun.
One of the best days of the week.
Yeah, definitely.
So, as Katie already mentioned, it's our last show because we're returning to our home planet. Perhaps one day we'll return to talk more about conspiracies, cults, and weird history. And by one day, I mean, you know, winter, spring, quarter. Only time and our grades and our work schedule will tell. For the time being, we'll leave you with this.
We don't actually know if Ted Cruz's dad killed JFK, but given what we know about his son, it's a pretty distinct possibility.
Have a good school year, y'all.
Bye, everyone.
No, thank you, is what I should have said. I should be in bed, but temptations of trouble on my tongue, trouble's yet to come.
One sip,
bad for me.
One hit,
bad for me.
One kiss,
bad for me. But I give in so easily, and no thank you is how it should have gone. I should stay strong. And what's wrong with that? Boy, oh boy, I- thank you. They call me after dark. I don't want no part. My habits, they hold me like a grudge. I promise I won't budge.
One sip,
bad for me.
One hit,
bad for me.
One kiss,
bad for me. But I give in so easily. And no thank you is how it should have gone. I should stay strong. But I'm weak. And what's wrong?
Good afternoon. My name is Francisco Dominguez, Radio Infort Mard. I want to thank you for tuning in on this afternoon. I'm going to do the disclaimer and then we'll get into the show. The following views presented in this hour do not reflect the views of KDVS, KDVS sponsors, or the University of California. I want to thank you for tuning in this afternoon. We have a very special guest. His name is Todd Miller. Investigative reporter, journalist, writer, and we're going to start off the show with some old school Santana from the Abraxas album. So check it out, and then we'll be right back with the interview. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM, Radio in Fort Mard. And start to show off with some great, great music from the late 60s. The great Carlos Santana and all the great musicians in his band. We'll be right back with the interview.